Today's Sunday, May the 31st, 2026. We are going to John chapter 14. I don't know if you all get this publication that comes from Word Promotions. Been coming out for years. It's called Glimpses of Truth. It comes out when it comes out. Meaning it's not a monthly, it comes out when it comes out. In the recent article by Reverend Gear, I got really blessed reading this. The article is about Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, the acceptable year of the Lord, and how he was instructing one of the things he was doing was training and instructing those. And by the way, if you don't get this, there's an address on here. You could just write and say, could you put me on the list? But I got blessed in looking at this article because it reminded me of, as he mentioned in the article, when Jesus Christ sent out the 12 apostles and he empowered them and said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devil spirits, and they did. And then later, Jesus Christ sent out 70 disciples, disciplined ones, and told them the same thing, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devil spirits, and they did as well. And I mentioned last week that those who had God's Spirit prior to the day of Pentecost, it was on a temporary basis. But things changed dramatically when the day of Pentecost came. And since that day, all those who are born again receive God's gift of Holy Spirit on a permanent basis, along with the ability to operate all nine of the manifestations. And with that in mind, let's read a familiar verse in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 14. This is at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ said, John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He did some marvelous works, didn't he? If you read the Gospels, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, raising the dead, casting out devil spirits. In one record it says healing all manner of sickness and disease. And here we read that he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Isn't that just an amazing statement? And notice that Jesus Christ did not say, an apostle or prophet that believes on me or regarding me. No, he said, he or she, whoever believes regarding him. Anyone who gets born again not only receives salvation, but also receives God's gift of Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And it's interesting, we'll read it in just a little while, but in Colossians, it says that, God, referring to God's gift of Holy Spirit, it says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We do have the ability to do the works that Jesus Christ did by operating the Spirit of God that is in us. It's in us. We don't pray that the Spirit will come in. It's there. And the context of this here in John chapter 14 is the gift of Holy Spirit coming. Look down at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you. Shall be in you. And not temporarily. But we know from verses in the New Testament that it's incorruptible seed, that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's in us. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans, the starting point. The great revelation that's in the book of Romans is just wonderful. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God is in us. How many Christians believe that they can do the works that Jesus Christ did. He's the one that said it. It'll be different if we went, boy, I sure would like to do the things Jesus Christ did, man. He healed blind people. He healed this. Boy, I'd like. He said we could. Romans 8, 9 says, but you're not in the flesh. Romans 8, 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, and it's better translated, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, or it should say, but since Christ dwells in you, the body, that old man nature, is dead because of sin. But the Spirit that's in us, is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. It's in us. God's Spirit is in us. And God's Spirit that's in us is the gift of Holy Spirit. How beneficial it would be for God's people to learn and to understand from the Scriptures the difference between God, who is Holy Spirit, and his gift, which is Holy Spirit. That'd be really helpful. And understand that God's Spirit is in us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? It dwells in you. God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is not dwelling in you. You're going to put the entire creator of the universe in this earthly body? It's his Spirit, gift of Holy Spirit, that dwells in you. You know, he repeats this again in chapter 6. If you would flip over to chapter 6 here in 1 Corinthians. And in verse 19. What? Know ye not? Is this a reproof epistle? Remember we just read in chapter 3. Don't you know this? They should. Paul spent about a year and a half with them. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and that you are not your own? His Spirit is in you. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5 says that God was in Christ. How was God in Christ? Well, Jesus Christ had what? The Spirit of God. Look at Acts 10. Back up to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God. And that's what enabled him to do all those wonderful works that he did. And that's why it says God was in Christ. We're going to Acts chapter 10. This is when Peter was at Cornelius' house. And he was preaching to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 38, it's a wonderful verse about the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was in Christ. God was with him. How? By way of the Holy Spirit that was in him. With that in mind, look at Ephesians 4. It's in us. It's not just a nice phrase that makes us feel good. I got the Spirit of God in me. I'm Spirit-filled. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? I'm a Spirit. It's not just so we have a nice feeling. It's not a a good cliche. It's not part of our vocabulary as Christians. I have the Spirit of God. It's in there as potential power that we can manifest. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 6, there is one God and Father of all. Ephesians 4, 6. Who's above all and through all and in you all. How is God in us? By way of His gift of Holy Spirit that is in us. So now, understanding or seeing from the Scriptures that God's gift of Holy Spirit is in us, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read 1 Corinthians 12, but I wanted to look at least two verses here. And the first one is probably the most important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and for some of you, I know some of this is like a review. It's not like something brand new. Oh my goodness, Holy Spirit is in me. Who knew? But always so good to review, which helps to reinforce it in our hearts and minds. And this first verse of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, as you may know, starts a wonderful section in God's Word related to this wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and you'll see gifts is in italics, meaning it was added. "Now concerning spiritual," and the word spiritual is best translated as spiritual matters. "Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren," believers, "I, God, would not have you ignorant." I mentioned, I think, I don't know, last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, that if you and I had been raised in a family where, say, our grandparents were very knowledgeable of the Scriptures relating to God's gift of Holy Spirit, if grandma and grandpa really understood it and manifested Holy Spirit, if we went over to grandma and grandpa's house, maybe they had a fellowship in their home, or maybe they went to somebody's fellowship and there was speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy, and then they would teach us and tell us that we could receive revelation from God. Grandparents who then passed on to our parents, it would be much easier for us to grasp some of these truths. And it's really not their fault that they didn't have this information, because in the Christian church, there is a great lack of understanding and solid biblical teaching concerning God's gift of Holy Spirit. There is. And why is that? I mean, look at just the few verses that we just looked at. It's so plain what we just saw. God's Spirit is in us. God's Spirit is in us. And here, God is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters. Why then is there so much? Who in the world would be behind that? Who in the world would want God's children to be ignorant of spiritual matters? To be ignorant of what this gift of Holy Spirit that God said is in us. Who would want us to not know that? Well, who deceived Eve? What was the result of their disobedience in the garden back in Genesis 3? Loss of spirit. Right? He doesn't want us to even remotely consider that we could possibly have the power to do the works that Jesus Christ did. Who, you? You think you can go and minister healing to someone and see them get healed? You think you could raise someone from the dead? Yes, because Jesus said so. So get out of my hair. We just read in Acts 10 where all the oppression, sickness, all the junk comes from our enemy. And our enemy, the adversary, the devil, you can call him whatever you want. It's got a lot of names in the Bible. But he absolutely wants God's children to not only be ignorant of spiritual matters, but to stay ignorant of spiritual matters. So for you and me, if we weren't raised that way with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts, if we weren't raised in that environment, a big key for us, and in fact a big breakthrough for anyone, is getting to the point of accepting what God's Word says above anything else and everything else. You know, that's why we take in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, we take so much time looking at the Scriptures on how the Scriptures interpret themselves and how it's very important to rightly divide the Scriptures and how we look at the keys to how the Scripture does interpret itself so that we can get to the point of realizing that the Scriptures, rightly understood, rightly divided, are the Word of God. Then we have a choice, do I want to accept that or not? Because you could show somebody from God's Word, the Spirit of God is in you. And they could go, nah, I don't think so. I don't really feel anything. You can look at, read, someone tell you exactly what the Word of God says, rightly divided. But you know what it says in Hebrews 4? That the Word of God does not profit. There's no profit if it's not believed. And then you can read in 1 Thessalonians when Paul talked about those believers. It said, you received the word that you heard from us, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There it is. That's our choice. We can believe it or not. And it's always our choice. You know, speaking about not having an understanding, if you're familiar with Acts 19, when Paul went to Ephesus, he found some believers there. They were wonderful believers. They loved God. But what you don't know, you don't know, right? And when Paul got there, they only knew about water baptism. In fact, that record says, they said, we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. Not Holy Spirit God. They knew God existed, but they had not even heard that there was a gift of Holy Spirit, like a lot of Christians today. They hadn't heard about it. But in that record, they accepted Paul's words, obviously, because the Bible says then they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They manifested the Spirit of God. They went, okay, I'm going to believe this. It's all about believing. Look at verse 7 in this chapter. We're in 1 Corinthians 12. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every woman, to profit with all. And that manifestation is in singular. And then he lists nine of them, all nine of the manifestations. And the reason it's in the singular, because it puts all nine as one group. So every born-again believer has the ability to operate all nine manifestations. This is what God's Word says. So for you and me, we just keep digging into God's Word. We continue to put the Scriptures into our minds to see what God says, and then we can accept it or not. You know, in verse 6, it says, there are diversities or differences of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. All in all. Look at Ephesians 1. If God would make a statement like, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual matters, then he's going to have to give us some information. Brethren, I'd like you to just guess about spiritual matters. Brethren, just take the best option you think is right. Go with the person that you think might be right. How about going to God's Word? God would be the authority, wouldn't he? God told us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, already done, past tensed, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. all spiritual blessings. No one gets any more and no one gets any less because we all get all. It's all in all. Whether you're male or female, doesn't make any difference. Whether you're a Jew, Gentile, doesn't make any difference. Whether you're young or older. Whether you're just starting out in God's Word or been around a long time. It's still all in all at once. When we got born again, God isn't like doling out the spiritual blessings as we progress in our walk. All right, you're born again. Are you a little bit here? Now you stay faithful. I'm going to give you a little more. It's not what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How blessed we are. Because when we got born again, it's all in there. It's in us. Well, look at verse 23. Talking about Jesus Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in who?
All.
All in all. All in, who gets missed? Nobody. Nobody. Who gets more? Nobody. Before we read a couple of verses in Colossians, on our way there, go to Philippians 2. You have to pass Philippians anyway. So we'll stop in chapter 2. How's that? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Another familiar verse. For it is God. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How does God work in us? By way of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Why? Because Holy Spirit is where? In us. Do you see how it all just fits? You know, the more you look at it, you're like, yeah, I see the picture. Colossians chapter 1. This is where we'll end up this morning. Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to read three verses here. 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, talking about the church, whereof I am, Paul, this is Paul saying, I am made a minister according to the dispensation or administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, the riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd like to read those three verses to you from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation. Verse 25 again. Of which I was made a minister according to the administration of God that was given to me for you in order to fulfill the word of God, namely the mystery that had been hidden from the ages and from the generations. However, in the present times it was made manifest to his holy sanctified ones, to whom God desired to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got to stop for just a minute and remind ourselves, what is the mystery? What is the big secret? No one knew about it. It said there it was hidden. It says that in other places, which nobody knew about it. God had this big secret, the mystery. You may remember in the Old Testament, God's decision was the descendants of Abraham were his people. I will be your God, you will be my people. What about everybody else? They're referred to as the nations, Gentiles, that's what Gentiles means. God chose them. I will be your God and you will be my people. Everybody else, leave them alone. Don't have anything to do with them. You don't go to their house. You don't do... They're Gentiles. They're nothing. You are my people. I think you're familiar with that. But since the day of Pentecost, things changed rather drastically. keep your finger or a marker here and go to back up to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read just one verse about this mystery, the one that just really spells it out. What was this big secret that God had that nobody knew about? Ephesians 3, verse 6. You'll see in verse 5 it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it's now revealed. It's now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here it is. Here's the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. What? And of the same body. No more Jews over here, God's chosen people, all the rest Gentiles. No. It's now one body, the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This was revolutionary. It was great news to the Gentile believers when Paul preached. They're like, hey, this is cool. There was major problems in the first century church. Those from the Judean background said, no, wait a minute. You can't bring these people. All right, if we bring them in, all right, then they're going to need to get circumcised. They're going to need to carry out the law. And Paul said, Christ is the end of the law. It's over. We're starting something brand new. It's called the mystery. Okay, let's go back to Colossians. This mystery was huge. Everybody is invited. Everybody receives all in all. And today, God's people are those who are born again. We read in verse 27 in Colossians 1 that the riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, having the Spirit of God dwelling in you, Christ in you, Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, is the icing on the cake. This gorgeous, delicious cake, that's the mystery. Oh, the best cake you ever tasted. Wait a minute, we got to add something to it. The richest, just the richest chocolate that you could even imagine. Smother on top of that cake. An inch thick. It's just smothered on it. And then around the side, we're going to put the most delicious sweet strawberries all the way around that. Then we're going to get some whipped cream and just... The riches of the glory of the mystery. It's Christ in you. How big is this Spirit of God that we have in us, the gift? It's the riches of the glory of the mystery that God kept secret that's just, oh my goodness. What we have in the new birth, God calls it here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We read earlier that Jesus Christ said, the works that I do shall he do also. The only way we could possibly do the works that Jesus Christ did is to do how he did them. And how did he do them? We read it in Acts. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How did he do it? By manifestations of Holy Spirit. By God giving him revelation, heal that man. Do this. He said, I do nothing of myself. What I hear, I speak. What I'm told to do, I do. Quite a walk he had, right? It's Christ in you. Verse 27 again. This is from the Working Translation. To whom God desired to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, admonishing every person and teaching every person in all wisdom, so that we may present every person mature in Christ. In King James, it says perfect, right? And the word perfect means mature. You know, none of us are ever going to be perfect, flawless, never make a mistake ever. But God's desire is for us to be mature, to grow up, to be no more children tossed to and fro, but to grow up, to be mature believers. And that takes effort. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't automatically come because you take a number of classes or I've been around 70 years now. I guess you could be around 70 years and not be mature. And in verse 28 says, whom we preach, not just Paul saying, whom I preach. There's places where he said, I preach, but here it says, whom we preach, not just Paul. Ephesians says we're all involved in this. Keep your place here and go back to Ephesians one more time before we close. Ephesians 4. We're all involved in this. And why not? We all have the Spirit of God, right? Well, of course we do. We're involved. Ephesians 4, another section that may be familiar to you as well, but in light of us having all in all, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth, everybody there, Ephesians 4, 14, that we henceforth be no more children. God's saying, grow up. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth, that's us. He's talking about us not being children anymore, but instead speaking the truth. The only way you're going to speak the truth is if you understand what God's word says accurately. That's the truth. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, does that include all of us? Yeah, okay. The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. How? In love. We edify. We build each other up. We don't tear each other down. We love. By love, serve one another, God's word says. My goodness. Back to Colossians 1. Let's close out. We're all involved because we're all equipped to be involved. We have the tools. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 27 again, and I'm reading from Working Translation again. Verse 27, to whom God desired to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, admonishing every person and teaching every person in all wisdom, so that we may present every person mature in Christ. And so this article that I was talking about at the beginning, talking about the acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus Christ and his teaching and healing and also training others, I was blessed to remember that he not only enabled apostles, but he also enabled disciples, disciplined ones, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devil spirits. It wasn't just apostles, but it was disciples. And then at the Last Supper, in the context of the gift of Holy Spirit coming, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And the greater works, I think you know, is getting someone born again, because it wasn't available until after the ascension on the day of Pentecost. So Jesus Christ could not get someone born again. That's greater works. That's greater than raising someone from the dead. How could that be? People can be raised from the dead, like Lazarus. Is Lazarus around today? No. Getting someone born again gives them eternal life. That's greater, isn't it? Absolutely. And all that began on the day of Pentecost. And since that day, for each and every person who's born again, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you and I, we do our best to keep growing, to keep learning, and to mature. That's what we do. Before I pray, I would like to play a song for you. It's by the group Casting Crowns. And the name of the song is In Me.
If you ask me to leave out of my boat on the crashing waves, and if you ask me to go preach to a lost world that Jesus saves, well, I'll go, but Christ in me. The power of Christ in me.
Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to know that it is Christ in us that we have the power to do what He did and greater works because of Your wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. We're so grateful, Father, this morning to know that we are truly children of the Most High God, that You have given us so much by Your great grace and mercy, that we have eternal life, we have forgiveness of sins, we have the great hope looking forward to Jesus Christ's return. And until He comes back, we not only have great hope, but Father, we're not helpless. We can walk like Jesus Christ walked because we have Your Spirit in us. Father, may we just continue to believe Your word, walk with the great love that we have in our hearts, do our best, and expect to have situations come up in our lives that we could operate the power of God and bring deliverance to those who choose to believe. Thank You for everyone here this morning, for those on the hookup, for those that might hear this recording later. Father, may we have a blessed week ahead, being just grateful to You for being such a loving, kind, and giving God. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.